Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Friends.
Yeah, it's time to knock a bit of crack out of the stories that got you texting in during the week. I'm delighted to be joined by two of my friends. Yes, I have pop star and podcaster Olive Tucker Lee and HIV activist and Mr. Gay World Runner Up, Dr. Robbie Lawler. Hello.
Oh my God, you're here to embarrass us, Jen.
Doctor, sorry. You've been in a few times. It's the first time I've said doctor. You've done it. You've completed it. Fair play.
I just hope you don't have a heart attack because I'm not that kind of doctor. I'm a fake one.
No such thing. Does it feel weird when people say doctor?
Do you know what? I haven't really used it so much yet. I just feel like I don't want to fall into that. But however,
you
might see
it
Dr.
Time.
Robbie Lawler on my Twitter, anywhere. I might milk it for a little while.
Olive, you would definitely be milking it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be like, call me Dr. Doctor. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? I'd have the rig out. I would be decked out.
Yeah.
Would be. I mean, you have to own that.
I'm missing to be here. I'll do it.
Because you've worked hard for it. So fair play to you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the stories that got us texting, got you guys texting during the week. On Wednesday, we heard from listeners about film age ratings and the intense, awkward moments when a sex scene was on the telly when you were in the room with your parents. Olive, you are experiencing this as a mum at the minute.
So, I am at the minute. I have a 10-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy. And the 6-year-old boy loves a bit of spicy, spicy.
Okay.
So, you know, I remember from being a kid where if anything spicy came on the television, it was like my mom was like, Paddy, get the remote quick. It was like red alert, red alert.
Yeah.
So now we don't want to be that family. We're open. We're going with all these vibes. So we're just a bit like, you know, giving each other the eye, get the remote quick. And the minute we try and knock anything spicy off, like for example, we did old movies last week. So we did Police Academy. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a bit of Police Academy? The amount of boobs in Police Academy.
God, I wouldn't think so.
So I'm trying to give the red alert eyes to my husband and we're trying to knock it off. But my son is just like, no, man, leave it.
Educational.
So what are you supposed to do there?
And not to shame the female body eater, right?
Exactly.
Very
so
true.
We're kind of navigating ourselves through this period.
It's the shame that we've had. We've been put through. So we have a lot of work to do on ourselves. You're right. We have a lot of work to do on ourselves. So we don't, you know, put it on to our kids. I totally get it. Robbie, do you remember it happening much when you were younger?
Oh, all the time. I think it's kind of a rite of passage, isn't it?
Yeah.
My mom used to she used to run out to make herself a cup of tea rather than turn it off. Or she'd like, close your eyes. But of course she wouldn't, you know, at the same time. But that kind of went out the window in our family quite young because, you know, I have two older brothers, so a good 5-6 year age gap. And they were kind of like, they were bold teenagers. But I never forget when we came home, I was coming home with my mom one day and she opened up the porch and it was this big plastic bag in her porch. And he looked in and it was a bag full of Blue movies, my mom likes to call them.
Nice.
Looking in, and I seem to think, so my mom's like, what is this? You know, one of my brother's friends just left in the porch, and my mom, of course, threw him in the bin, and then there was the big fight ensued. But like, when you have older brothers and these things are said, you know, it's just like you're in it, you can't escape it.
There was always a man in a van with Blue movies. There was always a man in a van in my estate that would be knocking around with just knock-off movies. Not just Blue movies.
Oh, yeah. Not just Blue movies.
No.
Like Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's always in the cinema and somebody used to have filmed it on a dodgy recorder.
They were a fiver.
Yeah. Did you have that? I remember that.
Oh, we couldn't afford extra vision growing up. We needed that man in the blue van with the Blue movies.
We loved the man in the van.
And there was always a house on the road where you'd get away with watching anything. There was always one house on the road that very open. Was there one on your road?
I was that. My house was that house.
Really?
Like my mom and dad were always out, in and out, in and out. Like I remember watching like Pretty Woman, which was so inappropriate, but I had no idea that, you know, she was a high class hooker. I just thought she was a girl and she was, you know, making her dreams come true until my mom walked in one day and I was like, get it off. And then she looked at how, you know, skinny Marie, she ended up in a dumpster.
We didn't have a clue what was going on. I remember doing a thing on the show about costumes and, oh, what did you ever win? And I had a woman call in and she won, as a 10-year-old, a costume party in a Mosney situation where she dressed up as Pretty Woman. Her mother dressed her up as Pretty Woman. You know, we were clueless.
$50, Grandpa.
We got to make our money somehow. She's grifting from a young age.
Listen, on Tuesday, we had a call from Lorraine Barry of Dancing with the Stars. Yes. And she sang in Japanese to us.
Oh, Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about karaoke, and of course she, you know, lived in Japan for a while, and she said you can't go to Japan and sing in English, you have to sing in Japan, and she had this full song. Anyway, we're talking about karaoke. There was a lot of rules. Conor Bean was in, mm-hmm. obviously does all the karaoke in the George, and said they have some strict rules about the do's and the don'ts and what you can sing, and Valerie is gone. You don't attempt to sing Valerie.
It's out.
Mm-hmm. It's been done to death.
Okay.
Okay, and there's certain songs that just don't work. Robbie, Dr. Robbie.
Yes.
What is your go-to karaoke song and why?
Oh God, well, I have two stories on this. The first one is I'm a karaoke fiend. I love it. Give me a mic any day. But I don't have a note in my head, unfortunately. I have the confidence as if I do. And you know what? The thing I love about karaoke is I don't particularly like the good singers, to be honest. I like the crap singers who give it all. And that's what the category I definitely fall into.
Yeah.
But I think the real skill of karaoke is picking a song that everyone else can sing along to. It takes the pressure off
you.
It's more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So one of them is Mr. Brightside, which I'm pretty sure is banned from the George, and rightfully so. But there's like an air guitar solo. I do flips. I put on a whole show. Everyone loves it.
It's a performance.
But the other time I was in Warsaw, I was working with this whole new team, but no one was really talking to each other. So I also think karaoke is a good icebreaker. Mm. So I got up, it was the middle of winter, it's Christmas time. So I sang All I Want for Christmas Is You. I didn't realize how long that song went on for.
Forever.
And Polish people take karaoke as seriously as Japanese people. Leave, and everyone hated it, and my friend who was an opera singer came up and sang with me, so it's just incongruence of me, it's like the squeaking cat and then this opera singer, and made it even worse. Anyways, at the end everyone, do you know that slow clap as I went down, and my friend's on the other side of the bar, and everyone's like, oh, but anyways, it worked, it broke the ice, and we all had great fun.
Well yeah, see, I think Connor was onto something with the do's and don'ts of karaoke. Like, don't be whipping out a Celine Dion song even if you're an amazing singer, because you're right, Robbie. Nobody wants to hear them.
Or Edge of 17. It goes on for 17 minutes. That was one of my worst mistakes ever. That's when people just
hate
me.
Keep it short and sharp, Jen.
Now, Olive, as a pop princess, is karaoke beneath you?
Karaoke is my thing. Oh. But I have to say, you know, people make this mistake that they think that I can actually sing because I was in the pop world. Absolutely not. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the little group that I was in, it was more...
I know you can.
I know, Jen.
Saying something.
That's a tune. That's a boss.
That's not banned from the George, because sometimes they do a throwback. You know, people send me videos all the time.
Okay. Yeah. So what are you singing in karaoke?
Gangster's Paradise, Coolio, Give It to Me. I am all for it. No, word for word, sentence for sentence, and I am giving it socks.
Now, that is something I need to see.
You
need to do that in your next podcast. Listen, please do.
Leave it with me.
Let's talk about dangerous jobs. Earlier in the week, we heard from listeners about the hardest jobs they ever had to do. Let me tell you, I still think my time as a chambermaid tops the lot. We had snake catchers, all that kind of stuff. So, Robbie, what do you reckon is the riskiest job you ever had?
I had two of them. One of them was being a gay man working in a sports shop for 4 years. And I had these young kids trying to ask me who the striker of Man United is. I had no idea. But I could upsell socks like there was no tomorrow. 3 for 9, all over, KPIs all over the place. That was my gig. But I stayed away from the golf section like the plague. The other one was during the X Factor. I worked two jobs during college, but the second one was on a Saturday night. The X Factor was on, and I worked in the pizza place, and it was sponsoring the X Factor at the time. And people had pizza parties, and when I say you never were off the phone, you had people screaming at you. It was mayhem. And if you got something wrong in that pizza,
people are hungry.
Oh, they eat the head off you.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, like. Do you know, the toppings move around. They go in and they go in for the juggler. I'm like, I'm just a call girl. You know, leave me alone. But that was one of the most stressful jobs I've ever had. And I think anyone in the food industry or worked in the wait staff will understand that as well. So
100%.
Oh yeah, confidence through the floor with that one.
Olive, what job made you fear for your safety?
So I, years and years ago, got a job in a shoe shop. But unbeknownst to myself, I've actually a foot, like, hate. I'm not going to say foot
fetish. You're not into feet.
I hate them. Tara Dackles, I like to call them. Yeah. So then we had like these kind of men and women coming in and they kept giving me these shoehorns. So I had to kind of jab the stop. Like, we're not doing this.
Okay. So it wasn't dangerous, just gross.
And not only that, Jen, like, people are coming in trying shoes on with no socks on. The feet, the smell, the odor. We all need to look at that and just, you know, be kinder to the people that work in the shoe shop.
I'd say, because you're a stylist as well, but I say you've had some mean experiences with people's hair.
Jen, I always say, once it doesn't hop, skip or jump, I can deal with anything.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. Yesterday, we ended up chatting about words which you can't stand because there was an article in the Indo, a Kirsty Blake Knox, she was talking about Louis Walsh bringing back the word vile.
Oh.
Vile. But I want to know yours, Olive. Why does Oprah Winfrey calls hassle in your house?
So my mom, you know, one time we were having a bit of an argument and she was like, do you know what, Olive, just chill out, go home, watch Oprah. And I was like, for starters, it's Oprah and we will not ever say Oprah again. But we got past that and she's going to kill me for saying that because it was one time years ago. But anyway, but I do have a cracker for you because I was talking to my husband about this yesterday. When we were moving house, I remember saying to him, like, it's grand. It's only bricks and mortar. It's grand. And he was like, sorry? And I was like, it's bricks and mortar. And he was like, it's bricks and mortar. And I was like, no, it's not. And we had a full on to the factory. We had to ring people and be like, isn't it not bricks and mortar? And I was like, oh my God, I'm going through my whole life saying bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
I had to be given a lesson on mortar. Like, who
knew
that?
Yeah. We all have one of those things that we've been saying wrong for years. Robbie, does your mom have any mad ones like Olive's mom?
Oh, she has a whole one. We actually have a dictionary of things she says on her notes on her phone. I could read them out, but I don't embarrass her too much. But no, but she's just like that with names too. So my PhD supervisor, Jean-Philippe Imbert, he's this French guy, amazing guy. But my mom always just called him John Phillips. Like, she just refused to call him by his name. I was like, ma'am, just call him Jean-Philippe, please. She's like, John Phillips. And then the other one is that came to my head because it just happened last week. We go to Bunsen. It's our favourite burger place in town. It's gorgeous. Highly recommend. Best burger in town. But my mom calls it Bumpskin, which is a very different place to eat, so yeah. I heard.
I love how she refuses to do
the correct words. She calls Ryan Gosling Ryan Goblin, Colin Firth Colin Flirt. She just has them all.
Well, my dad has a cracker. My dad say, oh, come here, me and your mother were watching Grange Gorman the other night. I'm like, it's Graham Norton. Grange Gorman.
I had Arthur Grooley on from Dancing Stars in studio and he does the opposite with people that your mam does, funny enough. So with we had Bernard O'Shea on the final of Dancing, he called him Bernard.
Oh, lovely.
We had David Whelan, he was calling him David. Like, he just he makes it sound more interesting.
More exotic.
More
now, that
exotic.
I can get behind.
I like that. I'm here.
John
for that.
Phillips doesn't sound
John
so exotic.
John Phillips is amazing.
Grange Gorman.
That is amazing. Ah, bless him. Lads, thank you for being my friends today. Olive, you are flat out.
Come here. I am flat to the mat. So, you know, I love the hairdressing world. I'm in the creativity, all that. But there's always a but. I am involved in this podcast now called The Tuck In that I am doing with my two older sisters. And we are tucking into topics every week. And it is on all your platforms. And you know, Jen, I'm having a ball.
And
we
you're learning
are learning
a lot.
Loads. Like, every week we have nuggets and crackers that we tuck into. Now, I have to be honest with you. People have stopped me in the street and been like, I'm so like your sister, Catherine. I'm so like your sister, Sandra. There's no olives out there.
There's no olives. So
there's only one.
I know, yeah. And I'm okay with that. But I'm just a bit like, you know, I was always the Beyonce of the family and now I'm in the shadows and these two sisters.
Deadly.
It's their moments.
So go and check out the podcast. And Robbie, you've a new series.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah, so this is our fourth or fifth. I'm losing a count at this stage. So this
one,
myself and Veda took a little turn. Where, of course, we're still collecting the stories of people living with HIV. But we really wanted to focus on something that will maybe consider taboo in the community, and that's chem sex. So we call it chem sessions. So this is people who use drugs to kind of increase pleasure during sex with some people or many different types of people. And it's very underground in the community. I'm talking about the gay and bi community at the moment. And while we all know someone who engages in it, and people, we call them the happy users, people who go in and out of it, it's like people who use like party drugs in and out, you know, it's not problematic. But there are a cohort of people who do fall into a trap and they do need extra support. So although it's underground and we know that there's a large part of our community that may need support, we wanted to just humanise the experience through storytelling. And we know the power of that for people living with HIV. We wanted to do the same for people who engage in chemsex. So myself and Veda, the amazing co-host, we knew about chemsex. We don't know too much about it. So we started off by talking to the experts. So our first two episodes of the season are talking to Aoife Drury, an amazing psychosexual therapist based in Dublin, and then Andrew Shannon, who is the project coordinator for chemsex in the Empower program. So we really wanted to get a good understanding of what's happening, what's the data out there, what language we should use, what we should talk about, what we should stay away from, and how to have this balance of not glamorizing chemsex, but just humanizing it and getting it
from
underground.
What is happening? What is happening out there?
Well, we don't have the data. That's the thing, right? So it's something that we know is happening. We know it, and something that needs to have a spotlight shone onto it. But there's not funding going into it completely. And there's a real gap in knowledge for the therapists, a gap in services available for people who may be detoxing off some of these drugs and may need help. The standard model of care really isn't there because it's a new, a kind of a new phenomenon with the new drugs using chemsex. So there's so much to uncover there. But from our perspective, when we talk about chemsex, we often talk to the experts.
Yeah.
But we don't talk to the people engaging
in
it. And it's those nuances. Is that amazing? Yeah. So what we're doing is we're offering these two things for people who engage in chemsex. One is share your story, be open about it. And then the other one is we're doing this kind of anonymity thing where we're going to get a voice actor to voice over some people's stories, because some people might have issues where they might be afraid that it might affect their visa applications, for example, or they have family that they don't want to know about it, or their work to know about it as well. So we're just trying to still allow people to share their experiences, but in the safest way possible. And that's all we always try to do.
You're great at doing that. You're great at doing stuff like this. You always do something new, and I really appreciate the work that you and Veda do, especially continued success. Obviously, we don't condone the use of drugs, absolutely not, but I think it starts with a conversation, and it is happening, so we need to talk about it, and a lot of these people need help, as you said.
It's all about harm reduction and all about love.
Absolutely. Lads, you've been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me and Jen's friends, and we'll be back with more after this.
Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.